Got it?
So the reading, you might not be surprised to hear, is from Galatians 5, which homes in on the fruits of the Spirit. It starts off by talking about the freedom that we have in Christ. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourself be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. Mark my words, I, Paul, tell you that if you let yourselves be circumcised, Christ will be of no value to you at all. Again, I declare to every man who lets himself be circumcised that he is obligated to obey the whole law. You who are trying to be justified by the law have been alienated from Christ. You have fallen away from grace. For through the Spirit we eagerly await by faith the righteousness for which we hope. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision nor uncircumcision has any value. The only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. You were running a good race. Who cut in on you to keep you from obeying the truth? That kind of persuasion does not come from the one who calls you. A little yeast works through the whole batch of dough. I am confident in the Lord that you will take no other view. The one who is throwing you into confusion, whoever that may be, will have to pay the penalty. Brothers and sisters, if I am still preaching circumcision, why am I still being persecuted? In that case, the offense of the cross has been abolished. As for those agitators, I wish they would go the whole way and emasculate themselves. You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free. But do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command: love your neighbor as yourself. And you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. The acts of the flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking and envying each other. That is the end of Galatians 5.
You've already heard, we are embarking on this new series as a church, and we're going to be focusing in on Paul's teaching to the church in Galatia concerning the fruit of the Spirit. And as we go over these next few months, we're going to take a look at each of the nine fruit that Paul mentions one by one to understand a little bit more about what they are and how they affect us in our Christian journey. So before we focus on today's fruit, which is love, we do need to get a sense of why Paul wrote these words and how they fit in terms of the wider teaching of the New Testament. The region of Galatia that Paul was writing to was a large Roman province that had a considerable Greek influence throughout its history. And in the time that Paul was writing, visiting and writing, the region extended all the way up to the top there, which is Pontus on the Black Sea, all the way down to Pamphylia on the Mediterranean, which is kind of down the bottom there, which is now modern-day Turkey. And we can't be sure if Paul was writing to the churches that were formed in the north part of Galatia or in the south, but it's most likely to be the south that Paul was writing to in particular. Antioch, Pisidia, Iconium, Lystra, and Derb. They were all places that Paul had visited and established churches. If you read through Acts 13 and 14, you'll see that journey and where he went. So it's likely he was writing to those at the bottom half of the map, as it were. The central theme for Paul's letter to this young church in Galatia are freedom and unity. Freedom and unity in Christ. It seems that there are those in the church, if you read that again, go back and read what Michael was reading in chapter 5. There were those in the church who were focused on keeping law. And in so doing, they were basically dividing up the church, potentially on racial grounds. In effect, what was going on is that the Jewish believers that had become Christian were saying, well, you still need to follow all the laws of the Jews. So circumcision and all those other things that were important to the Jews, they were saying, you've got to do this still. This is still the way to behave. And in doing so, they were excluding those that were outside of the Jewish religion to being part of that church family. And Paul tells them off, doesn't he? He points them back to the simple truth of the gospel. That is to say that Christ gives us freedom from the law by his death and his resurrection on the cross. We receive the Spirit of God, not from our obedience to the law, but from our hearing and believing of the gospel. Have a look at Galatians 3. Paul unpacks that in far more detail than I am this morning. But in his letter, Paul reminds them, the church in Galatia, that the church needs to be united. The church transcends cultural, racial, social, or gender barriers and is based on the truth of the gospel of Christ. In this letter to the church in Galatia, Paul is instructing his readers that the church is to protect its freedom from the slavery to the law. It's free. Hang on to that freedom. But yet it has to use that freedom to fulfill the law by serving one another through love. We're free, but we use that freedom to enable others to experience love for themselves by serving them. Freedom and unity, the two themes of this book. How do we get such unity? Paul tells us it comes only from the Spirit that unites. And what underpins that unity? Well, Paul, all the way through this letter, talks about love. And love is the first fruit that Paul mentions on this list. So what is so special about love? As you may know, the English language is a rather limited in its expressions of love. We've only got one word, really, that we use, isn't it? And that's love. But love, for us, has a number of kind of links to it, doesn't it? Whereas when Paul writes in Greek, there are four different words of love. In fact, there's about eight, but there's four main ones that we focus on. Each has a different characteristic, a different flavour, a different expression of what it means to love. But if we're not careful, we put our limited Western understanding of love onto Paul's words, and we miss the point that he's trying to make. And we need to kind of remind ourselves that there's more to love than just that little four-letter word that we use. So it's true then that our word love has different depths, from friendship all the way through to intimacy. And often we use the word love, we think of perhaps in terms of something romantic, don't we? And that lens can confuse our understanding of Scripture. You know, we can love, if you take one end of our word, or we can love bananas. We can love chocolate pudding. Yeah? We can love our partner. We can love God, but it's one word, and we kind of, perhaps if we're not careful, we lose the sense of what it is we're trying to express. So I want to just spend a minute or two understanding the different types of love that Paul would have used in his letters. And as he used those words, those reading would have understood what he was trying to say, perhaps in a way that we miss. So the first of the words is the one down the bottom here, agape. This is a spiritual love, the kind of love that God has for humanity. The kind of love is unconditional and sacrificial. We see that, don't we? No more clearly than what Jesus did on the cross. Unconditional and sacrificial. This is the form of love that we all need in our lives. It is a love that gives us an opportunity of a relationship with our Creator. It is this love that we ideally should be displaying in our lives. This was the kind of love that Jesus lived out 24/7 when he walked the earth. This spiritual love, this love of God, from God to his creation. And then the second love is the other side at the top, storge. This is what we call, I guess, family love. The love that perhaps we have for our parents or our siblings, our children. And it's a deep affection and a strong bond that isn't easily broken. And then we have philia, love of friends. The love between friends, that kind of friendship love. The love that means you watch out for your mates. You stand up for one another. You are there for one another, no matter what. You've got a strong connection that stands the test of time. And the way I kind of think of it, it's the kind of love of a friend that means you can go for long periods of time without seeing them. But then when you meet up, or when you hear their voice, or when you just catch sight of one another again, all those kind of things are there, and that connection instantly is there. That's the kind of love I believe that we're talking about here. You just pick up where you've left off. And then in the bottom corner, you've got the last of our love, eros love, romantic love, the love between people. This is about, I guess, desire and infatuation. It's a physical reaction and an attraction type of love. The heart rate increases, the sweaty palms, that kind of love. That's what we're talking about here. So these are the different types of love that are around and are used throughout the New Testament. So here's a question for you then. When Paul writes in Galatians 5, what word out of those four do you think Paul is using to describe the fruit of the Spirit? Love. Which love word is Paul using? Agape, storge, philia, or eros? Shout it out. Agape. Cool. Everyone agree with that? Excellent. Yes, it's agape. It's that spiritual love, the love that God pours out on humanity, and the love that he would have us share with his world. It's the love that we've been singing about this morning, and that last song was beautiful, that helped us to remind ourselves of the love that God gives to us that we can share with one another. So, another question. Why do you think love is the first characteristic or fruit that is mentioned? God is love. Because God is love. Anything else? Powerful? The foundation of the rest. Yep, I've got it here. Answer simple. Love should underpin everything we do, and it kind of sets the platform for the rest of the things. In Matthew's gospel, we read of an encounter between Jesus and a Pharisee who asked Jesus what was the most important of God's commands. And Jesus says this, you can read it in Matthew 22. Jesus answered, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. This is the first and most important command. And the second command is like the first. Love your neighbor as you love yourself." Just an interesting aside. Jesus is always naughty, isn't he, in these kind of things? Naughty in a good way, that is. The Pharisee asks him what is the most important command, and Jesus doesn't just give him one. He gives him one, and they said, "Oh, but also there's this bit as well." He likes to cause a stir, doesn't he? Anyway, and then in John 14, Jesus says this. John 13, Jesus says this concerning love. "I give you a new command. Love one another. You must love each other as I have loved you. All people will know that you are my followers if you have love one for another." I'm kind of mixing up my versions there, aren't I? But you know the thing. You know what I'm trying to say. Yeah? Jesus recognized the importance of love. Paul understood the importance of love. He understood because he had experienced the depth of that love from Jesus. And he also knew the teachings of Jesus from the other apostles. He knew that Jesus had spoken of the importance of love and the need for each of us to love others in the same way that he loves us. What we learn from Jesus and through Paul's letters is that if we love others, that will affect our behaviour. And everyone will see and know that we follow Jesus. Loving others is a witness to the love of Jesus. But what does that mean for us today, practically? Well, Paul's message to the church in Galatia in chapter 5 makes quite tough reading. It was tough for the Galatians that it was what is expected of us rather than living in response to God's love. I've missed a whole chunk out there. It was tough for the Galatians, and it's tough for us. We're challenged to avoid getting tied down by rules and regulations. We're challenged to avoid of just doing our duty because that is what is expected of us. Rather, we are challenged to live in response to God's love. We are encouraged to live lives in the Spirit, live lives of freedom, free from the shackles of history, free from the shackles of tradition or of unrealistic expectations. We're no longer bound by the law, but we live by grace. We can fly freely from the cage that we've been talking about this morning. Grace poured out by the sacrificial love demonstrated by Jesus as he died on the cross is what sets us free from this law and from the traditions that perhaps hold us back. So I wonder, are you, am I, tied down by rules and regulations? Have we lost sight, like the Galatians, of God's grace? Are we guilty of putting obstacles in the paths of others rather than helping them to experience God's love and grace in their lives? God calls us to model his love. Have you become, have I become, too legalistic in our faith? If you have, let me encourage you to seek forgiveness. Seek God's forgiveness this morning. Ask him to help you break free from the rules and the regulations and the laws that we surround ourselves with. And ask that you would experience afresh the grace of God in your life. But Paul goes on. And he reminds us that with freedom comes responsibility. It is not a free-for-all. You can't just run around behaving as you like, pleasing yourself, doing what works for you without a care for those around you. That's not love. That's not living in the Spirit. If we can't live alongside one another in churches, how on earth are we going to be able to share God's love with those who still need to experience it? If we can't behave properly towards one another, how can we share God's standards to the world? If we can't talk appropriately to one another, how can we expect to speak God's love to a world that needs to hear it? When we live in the Spirit, when we live under the grace of God, we have a responsibility to model God's love to those around us. That's inside the church and it's outside the church. Look around you, maybe not literally, but in your head. Picture the people around you. Are there people here that you struggle with? Are there people here that you have hurt? Are there people here that have hurt you? We're going to just be quiet for a moment because I think we need to do this. And in the quiet, in the silence, just name them before God in your head. Name those perhaps that you think you've hurt. Name those perhaps that you feel have hurt you. Confess to God and then ask God to restore relationships amongst ourselves. Ask God to put right what we've got wrong and then ask God to release us to serve him here and in our community. So we're just going to be quiet for a moment. And if you're feeling any of that, then Paul reminds us that we don't walk this path alone. In fact, we cannot walk this path alone. There is nothing about us that can make us live the way God wants us to. It is only possible because of the Holy Spirit in our lives. The Holy Spirit gives us the fruit. The Holy Spirit grows the fruit within us if we continually seek to live in the power of that Spirit. The Holy Spirit will help us to get rid of the things that separate us from God and will grow within us the fruit that God gives freely to his people. You know, fruit grows, doesn't it? It takes time to reach maturity. And that is the same for us. You know, God doesn't expect us to be perfect from the very first moment. Thank goodness for that. He expects us to desire him more. He expects us to grow, to learn, and to discover our gifts and our talents. And he wants to reveal more of his power in our lives as we grow. He wants to give us more and more as we learn more of him and as we draw closer to him. You know, and I think God starts with love. He demonstrates love. He shows us love. He gives us the ability to love and he wants us to share his love. You know, love is the key. Love is the greatest. Love sets everything else in motion. So how's your love? Does your love for God still burn brightly? As it did perhaps when you first believed? Or has that love dimmed? Has it become a bit stale? When did you last tell God that you loved him unconditionally, just as he loves you? Do it now, if you haven't done it for a while. Tell him that you love him. When did you last allow God to tell you that he loves you completely? When you did you just allow God to speak to you and say, I love you, you're my child and you're precious? If you've not allowed God to speak to you in that way for a while, do it now. Ask him. Tell him that you love him and allow him to love you right back. Let me encourage you to allow yourselves to be blown away by God's love anew this morning. Allow yourselves to be overwhelmed by God's love, to be all consumed with it, and then to take that love into our world. If we're going to be men and women who live in the Spirit, we need to allow the Spirit to work in our lives as individuals and together as a church. You know, we find unity and we find strength in God's love. So let's be determined to be open to God's Spirit and ask that he grows within us the fruit of love. Let's just be quiet for a moment and then I'm going to pray. Father God, we thank you for the gift of your Holy Spirit that dwells within each one of us when we accept you, when we turn towards you, when we acknowledge you as Lord of our lives. Father God, we thank you for your Holy Spirit. We thank you for the way that it grows us and shapes us and develops us and guides us and encourages us. Father, we thank you for the fruit that you want to grow in each one of us. And we thank you for this fruit of love. We thank you that you modeled love to us. And you ask us to live in your love, to share your love, to be your love to the world around. And Father, we don't tell you often enough just how much we love you. And so this morning we call out to you and we say, we love you. We thank you for who you are and we thank you for what you've done in our lives. And there are times perhaps when we're just too busy to recognize that you love us right back, far greater than we can ever hope to love you. And Lord, we pray that you would fill us, your people, with your love this morning. That we would be overwhelmed by your love. That we would really feel that sense of your love in our hearts and in us this morning. And that where perhaps things have gone wrong in our relationships with one another, where things have perhaps gone wrong with relationships with those outside of the church, Lord, we pray that through your love you could bring about restoration and peace and unity. Love conquers all. Lord, start with us. In Jesus' name, amen.